Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. God has a lot to do. He has a whole lot to say to his people who loves us. Now, the Lord is coming back soon. His return is imminent. And he's coming back. He's going to do what he said, just like he always does, just like he always have, and just like he always did. And now, I'm going to pick up where I left off Friday. The Lord had me on to something in Revelation. And I was talking about how the reasons people are lukewarm. And as I was teaching it, I started realizing people are lukewarm for many reasons. Jesus told his disciples to watch out for the leaven of the Pharisees and also the leaven of Herod. And I trace a lot of problems back. You know, you can trace sin to its root. Somebody started it. It was not an accident. It was ultimately an attack from Satan. And you see the same scenario played out time and time again. When Jesus was a child, Herod, the wise men went to Herod to find out where he was. That was the protocol of the day, to ask the king where somebody important was. They felt like they knew that a Savior was born. They knew that Jesus was born because the angel showed them the star and they followed it. And they knew who it was because of the teachings of Daniel. And they considered the timing and everything, and they went looking for him. Now, if you love God, it's easy for you to believe that others love God too, especially a king. And so they went to Herod to find out where Jesus was. He didn't know. But he said, he picked up on their dedication and their devotion. He said, well, when you find out, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him. So that he could go and kill him. So the angels dealt with the wise men, led them another way. When Herod knew that he was mocked, then he killed all the children 2 years old and under. Now, that's the leaven of Herod. How did he get to that point? He loved power and position, and he feared losing it to someone else. And Jesus said, be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Now, that's something that they could understand. It's not hard to know that the religious order was corrupt. And they found out. They knew that they grew into the knowledge that the Pharisees were deadly against Christ. They wanted to kill him. And they understood it. When Jesus went to raise Lazarus from the dead, Thomas said, well, let us go he committed to go with Jesus, but let us go die with him. He knew that that was death. He knew that that was evil in the ranks, because they also love position and power. And they were blind against God. So the leaven of the corruption of the Pharisees is that they didn't see God. They didn't know him. And that's a leaven. The leaven of Herod, he didn't want to lose power. He feared losing power to the point that he murdered people for power. That's what you see Saul do. The spirit of Saul. No different. Now, Jesus told us to watch out for these two problems. And you can trace a lot of things right back to those same two problems. So people are When people are lukewarm, they are leavened. Leaven is swelling in them to the point that they are no good for the purposes of God. Even though they're doing works, they're doing religious works, they're doing things in the name of God that they do not know. And so people had, Jesus pointed out some things in the churches, in the seven churches, and all of the problems that we could ever have can stem from these problems. When I know the Lord, He thinks of everything, and He teaches me things from a foundational level. And you can trace things back to origins. Now, this is true all over the Bible. You see one king do something, then another king, you know, does the same thing. But all the Israeli kings after Jeroboam, they sinned according to the sin of King Jeroboam, who put a cow, an idol, in Bethel and also in Dan, because he was afraid that the people would go to Jerusalem and turn against him and kill him and give the kingdom back to the king of Jerusalem. So his fear, his love and his lust for power and his fear to lose it caused him to do that witchcraft. Now, when that happened, he was fired in God's eyes. So he died and he was lost. It's time now for people to learn from these mistakes and go forward in the Lord. If you start drawing near to the Lord and learning things that's correct, and coming to understanding and growing, then you're going to run into the negative pushback of the world. The world system has no love for the things of God. Even the religious world, anybody that's leavened, they're going to have a problem with the things of God. The pure interpretation of the word, they're going to have a problem with that. And Christians, sometimes the Lord would teach me things and I had to hide it. I had to conceal it from people that I know and love. I knew they wouldn't receive it. Most of the time Christians would try to get you to see things like they do. But there are those who are hungry. And when you present something that God shared with you that's a blessing, they receive it. Some people, I've sensed jealousy or envy, they get upset. It's because they feel provoked. They wanted God to show it to them first. I don't like saying stuff like that. These are things that you sense sometimes. People can't hide their countenance. What's in their heart will come out of their mouth. Then there are those who, whoa, that's good. And they want to know more about it. Now, they're humble. Some people they don't like to be, they feel provoked. And sometimes people don't want to be around you because of that. And I wondered why. I said, Lord, what's going on? Because I thought that people would cherish the things that I cherish. And when I learn something from the Lord, it's fresh information to me, and I love it. I can't wait to dive into it and talk about it with my friends. But I learned, it didn't take long to learn that you can't share everything with everybody. You have to you have to be wise. And influence, everybody has influence. And you can't underestimate people's influence. Sometimes what people say can sound good and it'll get you off track. But once the Lord showed me something and confirmed it, I hold on to it. And I don't let people derail me. You know, I can give you some examples. One, in the Holiness Church, they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but they have these legalistic rules like the dress code of women and whether they can watch sports or, this is old time, you know, back in the 80s when I came into it. Some didn't believe in sports, and especially in the 70s. They didn't believe in sports, movies. They didn't, definitely no alcohol, cigarettes, coffee sometimes. Who, you know, it depends on who the pastor was. And you couldn't go, I never met them that didn't watch TV at all, but nevertheless, they had rules and regulations, and they preached those rules and regulations. And on most Sundays, they were going to preach three things: the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, getting baptized in Jesus' name, how women should dress, and you know, they'll use scripture sometime. They didn't do much teaching. They it's like a soapbox. The messages were, in many cases, like a soapbox. But I was blessed to go to a holiness church that had a teaching pastor. And he was not as, he taught the word where you could live, where you could go forward in life and do things. Finish school, go to college, get a career, things like that. And then I noticed an animosity against people that were educated. They sometimes, you know, people didn't just, they felt like people that's educated think they're better or something. But that, you know, you get all kind of problems when you don't have the clear word of God. Then that was within the fellowship, and you know, other churches were fellowship. That was one guy. He was educated, but he was a holiness pastor too. So he believed in receiving the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, and he was full of gospel. But he was also he had a career. He was educated, and he was a pastor, and people looked up to him. And you see different situations, but nevertheless, loving the will of God makes the greatest difference. When we love Him, He takes us forward in life. You know, well, I'm saying these things because every time I learned from the Lord, I was learning how to live. One day Elder Lewis said, you know, he talked about doing the word to the point that you become a together person. And when he said that, it gave me vision. And what I saw was, it wasn't like a vision God gave me. I just saw it was a concept to me. I said, your life can work to the point that you can enjoy the things of God. And you can finish school. You can become educated, have a career, raise a godly family that want to solve problems like I did. And you can have nice things. I'm not talking about lavish luxury. I'm talking about you can have a nice life. You can drive the kind of car you want. It don't have to be raggedy. You can live in a good neighborhood. You can raise your children. Have a good life like you watch on TV. You can be a together person, full of the love of God, full of the wisdom of God, living a holy life. Now, to me, a holy life was not just solving, not just performing a bunch of rules and regulations so that you'll go to heaven, which turns into salvation by work, which is the most miserable way to live. You know, if you really want to, what God has given us is life, and He helps us to defend our life against what will tear it down. The world system will tear it down. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. It hardens your heart against the love of God. But when you have the love of God and the wisdom of God, you can build your life. And when you structure it with the purity of God, you have to be sincere. Holiness comes from a sincere heart of love. It will not do evil. It has no desire to do evil. David said, "Create in me a clean heart and prepare a right spirit within me." Now, that's what I wanted. That's why I asked the Lord to teach me so that I could live, not just so I could perform. But see, I was motivated by people they teach the world, you ought to do right, you know. And people preach doing right, and at the same time, sometimes they'll be jealous against the people that were doing wrong. They wanted to go to parties, they wanted to go to movies, they wanted to play sports, and they wanted to drink or whatever, but they knew it was wrong, so they preached against it. And I could sometimes sense that they were jealous against the people that were doing those things. And I'm like, Lord, teach me how to live. Because when I read the word, I saw that every time God said do something, it pertained to life and godliness. It was reasonable. And men would always do the opposite. Even the best men would do the opposite of what God said, get in trouble, God will forgive them, then they'll come around and repent, and then they'll live a stable life again. I said, why do people always go do crazy stuff? It's because of leaven. If you receive a thought that's wrong, it grows in you. And if it's wrong, it hardens your heart against what's right. So Jesus said, be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And it works. You can be, and you know, when you look at Laodicea, by the time we get to Laodicean church, which is also the church of the last days, now they've been doing these things, and somewhere somebody dropped the ball. And because each church represented a church in the days that Jesus had John to address it. And this would have been at the close of the lives of the apostles. John, who was very young when they were alive, was now very old, and some of them had already been killed. So he's preparing the next generation. But by the time it got to the Laodicean time, which is now, people are leavened to the point that they're useless to the things of God. And whenever the Lord taught me something about life, people didn't see it that way. They saw the word structured according to the way that it was presented to them. And this have happened all along. Not even in word churches, people do this. The Lord show you things. And I love fail safes. God is, he always give you a fail safe. I share things with people. Sometimes I'll do it because I esteem them. I expect them to receive. I think they'll appreciate it. So I may share something to see how they'll take it, or you know, it was good to me. Just in conversation. Now, there are some, I'm not sure how they'll take it. But I may try just to see. And you don't always get a positive response. So, in the latter years, I started saying, well, I'm not going to say anything unless the Lord prompt me. If the Lord prompt me to say something, then I'll say something. If the Lord teach me something that's a blessing to me, I'll say it if he prompt me to. Or if I'm ministering and he prompt me to. And I kept noticing that the Lord, in the 20 years that were since 1994, actually 1990, the Lord taught me many things about the church, because that's the office he called me to. He called me to be an apostle, and he talked to me about the church and the condition and things like this. So to me, it's not a soapbox or a pet doctrine. This is something the Lord brought to me for a good reason. And it's to help people steer away from the leaven of Herod and the leaven of the Pharisees. And the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod has been an enemy to me through many people that happen to be my brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, why would I have to hide something that the Lord taught me from people that are my brothers and sisters, and it turned out to be wisdom? It's because of that. Also, the Lord taught me this. He wants the people that represent him to not have any leaven of Herod or the Pharisees. He wanted to use unleavened people, just like in the Passover, they ate unleavened bread, or bread without sin. So the bread was flat because it didn't rise. There was no sin to swell it up. There was no yeast to swell it up. And God uses clean people to when he wants to put, when he's going to pour miracles on people, he wanted to make sure that they don't have leaven in them. And the Lord has hid things from people that are leavened. So this is much more important than I thought. And he rejected those that are lukewarm. He's going to spit them out. They're neither hot or cold. They're leavened. Now, the churches, if the churches would have taken heed perfectly to what Jesus was saying, those churches would still be in place. The world would not have consumed them. Most of those churches were consumed by the world. The buildings are now mosques in Muslim countries. And the churches are underground somewhere. Now, God always has a remnant. So the remnant stays strong and stable. But then there are those who love the world. And people that love the world somewhere will become leavened. And as I was studying like last time we started with the Church of Ephesus. Okay, now I'm going to skip the Church of Ephesus because we looked at it last time. Let's look at the Church of Smyrna. Verse 8, this is Revelations 2, verse 8. It says, "And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He broke free from death, hell, and the grave, and gave us the keys and power to and authority to operate on earth." Now, this is what he said to the church. He said, "I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan." He knew their works and tribulation and poverty. But see, you can be poor in this life and have spiritual wealth on your life because you've been doing what was right. Okay, verse 10. "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Now, this is what Jesus said to people that are threatened: be faithful to death, and he'll give you a crown of life. Don't be persuaded by the darkness. And there are times when people that are in the darkness, they outnumber you and they outgun you. And if you die because of Christ, he's going to give you the crown of life. Now, verse 11. "But don't be moved and don't stop believing." God, you can preach just as much as if you're about to get shot, if you were preaching in a safe place. God loves us. And he's with us. We're here to serve a purpose. That's why we're here. And do what God has given you to do. Ministry is dangerous. And I grew up in a peaceful time, or so-called peaceful time, but I've done a lot of spiritual warfare just to preach. Some people don't want it. Some people get angry. But the Lord knows how to get your voice and your anointing to those that will hear him. Verse 11. "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. And the angel of the church in Pergamos write, These things saith he which has the sharp sword with two edges." Now, the church at Smyrna, they didn't get rebuked. It was a short acknowledgement to that church. And he told them what to do. But see, when you stand firm and you're steadfast and unmovable, even unto death, the witness of your life is too strong for the world. That's something people can never forget. You were dedicated unto death, and people see it. What will the next generation be like? They saw people fearless and courageous, and they did what had to be done. And then they see the beauty in it, and they see the strength of it, and they get angry at the things, the injustice, but if you cower down, and you've given people hope, now you're cowering down. What are they going to do? Cowering down in their sight will begin a leavened process of fear. And anytime you're afraid, you made something else your Lord. I don't believe in acting on fear after I've driven out I've received the perfect love of God and driven out the fear that was there. I'm not going to invite it back. So when you follow God and you get used to obeying Him and living in His Word, you get used to, you know what life is like without fear. And fear becomes not a thing anymore in you. And you're not afraid to speak up. You're not afraid to do what's necessary. You're not afraid to die. So the church at Smyrna, they wouldn't back down because Jesus didn't rebuke them. And that's good. All right. Let's look at the church at Pergamos. Time is short, but let's look at it. He said in verse 12, unto the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which has the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith even unto those days where Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwells. So this is where Satan set his throne, where he lives. He said, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit fornication. Now here's their leaven. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, the leaven of Herod, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against thee, against them, with the sword of my mouth. You see that? Repent, or else God will come to you quickly and fight against them with the sword of his mouth. So there are people of God, or who they say they are of God, that God will fight against and resist. Then he said, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, even he that receiveth. So if you overcome these things, not only will God not resist you and fight against you, he's going to give you hidden manna, new revelation. But people that hold to these things, now I've run into the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, the late power over the people. I run into that too many times, and God is resisting it. The doctrine of Balaam, you can live like you want to and play all day and go to heaven. That's a lie. And you can't commit fornication and do these things without repercussion. This kind of leaven will cause a person to become useless, lukewarm, leaven. They'll have reputation and no power. They'll have a loud voice but they're saying nothing. They're clouds without water. They're darkness. They can't bring anything to life. They're sterile to life. They can't produce fruit, godly fruit. Because that, you know, because of this kind of living, this church in this time, the ones that dropped the ball helped produce the Laodicean church. Now, not the Laodicean church in their day, but the Laodicean church in their day had the problems because of such things. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Stay in victory. Stay in the love of God. Be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord. Give your pearls to swine. Don't do it. It's not worth it. Some battles you don't have to deal with. But when the Lord prompts you, share the good information with those that will love it. I don't care who it is. If the Lord, even people I love greatly, if the Lord don't prompt me, I don't say anything. Because he knows who will receive and who will not. And then timing is important also. Well, till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord. Stay in victory.